My name is Sikho Mgweva, and I love Jesus and His Word, and it's a privilege for me to share this teaching with you today. So in the previous session, we looked at the life of David. We saw how David made really bad choices that led him to a really dark place in his life. But at the same time, we saw how David went before the Lord and repented, and how God restored him to a place of wholeness. For today's session, we will be looking at the power of forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is one of the more difficult topics to teach because it really delves into the deepest places of people's hurt and pain. Unlike repentance, which seems a little bit more obvious to us in the sense that if you do something wrong, you own up for that thing and you make amends for it. But with forgiveness, you are the victim of someone else's actions. So even though in our minds we know that the word tells us to forgive, it's easier said than done. So often for many of us, forgiveness becomes this dilemma. Think about a time in your life where someone did something wrong to you and you had to forgive them. You probably asked yourself a few questions. Why do I need to forgive this person? They did me wrong. Why am I the one to forgive this person if they haven't even come to me to repent and ask for forgiveness? Or on the other hand, perhaps it's you that has done something wrong to another person and you go and you ask for forgiveness and the person simply refuses. So it does get quite complicated and intricate when we look at forgiveness. For many of us, we probably even have a threshold of forgiveness. You know, I can forgive up until that much. Beyond that, now that's too big. Or some of us often fall into the trap of feeling that that's too small. That's too small. Let me just let that pass by. That's very small for me to forgive. And often we find that these small things accumulate until we build up this mountain of offense because we've got this idea that this thing is either too big or too small to bring before the Lord. I just want to encourage you that nothing, absolutely nothing, is too big or too small for God. Forgiveness does not have to be a dilemma. Why? The simple truth and the hard truth is the fact that the word commands us to forgive. Like repentance, forgiveness is not optional. And forgiveness has really severe consequences for us. It leads to bitterness in our lives, and it also leads to a lot of broken relationships. So I want to use the analogy of debt to perhaps better describe this concept of forgiveness. So debt is something that we owe to someone. And often in the financial world, it's a very concrete concept. So if you owe someone something, that which you owe needs to be paid back. And once that debt is paid back or settled, it is settled for good. But now this concept or this idea of debt, when it comes to matters of the heart, is a lot more tricky. It can be tricky because how do you quantify an emotional debt? How do you quantify when someone has hurt you? But for us to have a look at what forgiveness looks like in the biblical sense, let us have a look at what the Word of God says. Let's read Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35 to find out. The parable of the unforgiving servant. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he could pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart.
Take 10 minutes to reflect on and discuss this session's key Bible passage together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the key Bible passage by yourself.
So as we read Matthew 18, there are quite a number of takeaways that we can glean from this story. The first being that we have a compassionate king, a king who is merciful, who forgives one of his servants of a large amount of debt. And the beauty of this is that the king doesn't just extend the servant's time to pay back the debt, but he completely forgives the debt. This is just like Jesus and what he has done for us, where he has forgiven us the debt of our sin that we could never, ever repay. Secondly, we find that there's a servant, an unforgiving servant, who refuses to forgive his fellow servant for a small amount of debt. In fact, more than just not forgiving him, he beats the guy up and sends him to jail. Now, how often do we behave like the unforgiving servant? How often do we withhold forgiveness from others? The third thing that plays out is that the king is furious and he confronts the unforgiving debtor and has him jailed and put in prison until he can forgive the debt. So at the end of the day, the beauty of this is that we get a picture of a God who is just, a God who is faithful to make sure that justice is kept. Yes, it may not be on our terms, but God in the end is faithful to see that he keeps justice. So what's the moral of the story? It is God's desire that we be like that forgiving king who showed mercy. Be like that forgiving king who showed forgiveness, even though the debtor did not deserve it. God wants us to not only extend forgiveness, but to also receive forgiveness. And in this moment, I just want to share a little bit about the fact that often we struggle to also forgive ourselves. So oftentimes when other people hurt us, we will find that it's easier to forgive them, but we struggle to forgive ourselves. And I remember a quick time when I was struggling with a few things and I was struggling to forgive myself. I remember the Lord saying to me, "Siko, if I can forgive you, why are you withholding forgiveness from yourself?" And that's just important for us to just take with. Some of us need to hear that. That if Jesus can forgive you, you can also forgive yourself. So at that start of the same passage in Matthew 18, Peter asks a really important question. He asks, "Lord, how many times should I forgive someone who has sinned against me? 7 times." he asks. And the beauty of this is that Peter thinks this is a really generous offer that is giving. I mean, seven times is quite a lot. And just as a background or context to that, Jesus is talking about sin in the church, i.e., even us as churchgoers, we miss the mark, we sin, and we have to extend forgiveness to others and also receive forgiveness from others. So in this stage, Peter's asking, Lord, how often? And isn't that a question that we always ask? Like, how many times do I need to forgive this person for the same thing that they do? And the beauty of Jesus's answer was 7 times 70. This tells us that we forgive countless numbers of time. We forgive without restriction, without limit. We forgive every time. We are called to live a life of grace. We are called to live a life where we extend to others the same mercy that we ourselves have received from the Lord. And not just people in the church, but we extend the same amount of grace to people outside of the church. So then you might be wondering and asking yourself, but Sigo, how do I know? How do I know if I'm struggling to forgive someone? How do I know if I've really forgiven someone? And that's a really good question. At the end of Matthew 18, the word says that we need to forgive from our hearts. And that's the key. We forgive from our hearts. So forgiving from our hearts does not look like you giving someone a cold shoulder when you have said you have forgiven them. It does not look like you distancing yourself from that person after you have forgiven them. We all know that we give people the silent treatment. So if that's what you're doing, that's often a sign that you need to take that before the Lord again and really surrender that before God, so that you are able to truly forgive from your heart. Another sign is the fact that when we've already given something to the Lord and when that person's name pops up or when someone says something about that person, you get irritated or frustrated. That's usually a sign as well that you probably haven't really forgiven that person. So I encourage you to go before the Lord repeatedly, if necessary, so that you are able to truly extend forgiveness from your heart. Also, the other thing that we often find, which is a lot more obvious than the other two, is the fact that if you are retaliating and getting even after you say you've forgiven someone, if you find yourself trying to hurt another person or trying to get that person, then chances are, again, you need to work this through with the Lord. It's so important for us to learn to forgive. It's important because there are severe consequences for unforgiveness. It binds both yourself and the other party to that sin if you don't forgive. And then you're wondering why you can't move on from this situation. You're wondering why this still feels unresolved. It's important because we tend to carry this burden with us if we don't forgive truly from our heart. So what forgiveness also does not do, though, is absolve the guilty party from what they've done. So when you forgive someone, it's not to say that you are condoning that person's action. At the same time, forgiveness does not permit abuse. It does not mean that the people who do wrong to us should do it repeatedly and we allow it. It is not a license for people to abuse us. And the other thing is when we do get into this practice and this lifestyle of forgiveness, it does not mean that we should not have boundaries. So it's not an excuse to not have boundaries to protect yourself. And at this point, I want to also say that it's important for us to have boundaries. So yes, you may have forgiven someone with all of your heart, but still decide, you know what, as a way of walking in wholeness, perhaps I should not have a relationship with this person. Doesn't mean you haven't forgiven them. It just means that you're setting boundaries for yourself as you walk in wholeness. So I just want to share a quick testimony about myself when I initially got saved. So I got saved when I was 13 years old. And I think at that time, all I knew was the love of God. Didn't know much about being convicted of sin and all these things. So I thought I had it all together. All I knew was that Jesus spoke to me and he told me he loved me. And I was like, right, God of the universe loves me. And after that, I just ran. And I thought I had it all together. I didn't do many of the things that my peers were doing at that time. And it was really by the grace of God that I was able to resist peer pressure at that stage in my life. But as they say, pride comes before the fall. And when I fell, oh my goodness, I fell really hard. I fell so hard. I fell, but it humbled me. It humbled me so much. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is to make this point that a grace begins to flow out of your life when you begin to see God's mercy active in your own life, when you begin to see that only God is perfect, when you begin to see that only God is merciful and only God is just. And also in line with that, I had such a revelation of my own sin. When we begin to see ourselves as imperfect and in need of forgiveness and grace, we begin to see and engage with other people a lot more differently. So yes, sometimes it does take a bit of a fall for us to really walk in humility and to be able to forgive. Because we learn that key lesson that we ought to show the same mercy to others that Jesus has shown to us. So as we conclude this session, I really want to encourage us yet again that forgiveness is not optional. Like repentance, it is not an option for us to forgive our brothers and sisters, those who know Christ and also those who do not yet know him. We do not forgive in our own strength. And I want to really encourage us here because the fact that God requires us to forgive, the fact that God asks us to forgive in his word, it means that there is grace that is available for us to forgive. We need to tap into that grace and allow him through his strength to help us to forgive, no matter how big, no matter how small that sin is. So if you and I desire to walk in wholeness, if we desire to have a whole heart before God, we need to learn to humble ourselves before God, humble ourselves before people. Humble yourself, repent, humble yourself, forgive. Whatever it takes for you to be able to walk in wholeness, we need to do that. And lastly, I just want to say to us that God is faithful. He is faithful and he is able to forgive our sins when we repent. God is faithful and able to empower us to forgive those who hurt us and sin against us. And let us really practice and walk in this life of repentance and forgiveness, so that we can walk in wholeness and be conformed into the image of Christ, our Savior. Yeah, Father, we thank you, Lord, that our lives, Lord, are a testimony of your mercy, Jesus, in that while we were still sinners, Lord, you came and you died for us, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your mercy in our lives. We thank you for your grace in our lives, your grace that empowers us, Lord, to forgive, Lord, even what we feel in our own hearts is unforgivable. Thank you, Lord, for grace to love, Lord, to love others, Lord. Thank you for grace that our love, Lord, would be demonstrated, Lord, in our ability to forgive others. Thank you, Jesus, that you conform us to your image, that you are working out the nature of Christ in us as we repent and come before you, Lord, as we forgive those who sin against us, Lord, we are being transformed into your likeness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we give you glory, Lord, and we pray that you would be glorified in our lives, Lord, that people would watch how we walk in grace, Lord, and glorify our Father in heaven, Lord. Let us be known, Lord, for our love, Lord, that expresses itself in forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Take 15 minutes to reflect on and discuss the following points together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the points by yourself. You can find the discussion points in your Bible school handbook. Look out for the Living the Word sections in each session.